The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is our Week 8 DFS look, and this episode is sponsored by Express. Express is all new and all about you with a fresh assortment of casual, versatile, and super comfortable styles. Find out more about Express and their exclusive offer for Pick Six Podcast listeners later in the show. Joining me now to break down the week of DFS action, we are Heathless this week for the first time in a while. Frank Stanfield, what's up, buddy?
Yo, what's going on, Will?
What's going on? We're going to win $1 million this week. I'm feeling it.
Oh, yeah? This is the week?
This is the week. Heath and his contrarian takes aren't here to talk me off the chalk. I'm here to win. Chalk just wins money this year, doesn't it?
Dude, chalk was all over the place in week 7. And it was a crazy week, too. I think I scored 196 in my cash games, and there were a few where I actually didn't cash.
Are you serious? Wow. I had that happen last year one week. It was... And I had like Christian McCaffrey and Will Fuller with the Deshaun Watson stack. And I was up in, Stanford with like doing the show that week, from the studios there. And I was like going nuts. I was like, I'm going to win $1 million. And it was like, I won like $200.
better than winning nothing.
I faded my big mistake was fading the Sunday night game, which turned out to be how you won all the money.
Yep. This guy too. I was,
and it wasn't even that highly owned. That's the crazy thing.
Oh man. Yeah. The thing is, I think a lot of people had the decision of Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray, and I went with Watson, and I didn't have much Tyler Lockett either in that game. And it's like,
you needed Lockett to win anything.
Yeah. Anything big.
Sure. All right. Well, let's talk about this week's games. These are, the over-unders are a lot lower, Frank, although we got rid of a bunch of the riffraff because they put all the NFC East games in primetime. So there's no NFC East. Although I guess that's bad because no Dallas. You know, Dallas would have allowed a good stack, but we got some good games. There's, 5 games over, with totals over 50. And we'll get to those first, including somehow the most explosive game on the schedule. Titans at Bengals. Titans -6 with an over under of 54.5. I'll give you over under 33% Derrick Henry owned this week.
So Henry is interesting and I like him and this should be a smash spot on paper, but his price is very high and there are other running backs like sub 7K that I am very excited about that we'll get to in just a little bit. So I'm going to go under that, but I do think, you know, he'll have decent ownership this week, but 8,000 is just a big price tag. We know what he's capable of. Obviously he's had two games of 30 plus DK points and obviously that game with 43. So, we know what he's capable of, but it's just a really, really big price tag. So I'm going to go under that number.
Would you rather have Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara this week? Henry's 8K, Alvin Kamara's 8.2K.
Yeah, we have to see what happens with Michael Thomas, obviously. Sure. I think that's trending towards him probably not playing, which helps Alvin Kamara. But between those two, I actually probably would lean with Derrick Henry. The Chicago Bears defense has been pretty lights out.
Aaron Jones, you know, I'm looking at running backs. We're doing this game. is there a chance Joe Burrow is the Millie Maker again this week?
I love both quarterbacks. I like this game. It's probably my favorite game on the schedule and not just because it has the highest total because there's a few other games we'll get to with a total higher than 50, but both quarterbacks have been underrated all season in this game. Ryan Tannehill, 6,800. Cincinnati just gave up 5 passing touchdowns to Baker Mayfield. Without Odell Beckham. So that should tell you where their defense is at. And they just traded away Carlos Dunlap as well. So, Joe Burrow at 6,200. I actually like him more than Ryan Tannehill because you get those $600 worth of savings. And if it weren't for Kyler, Burrow actually would have been the slate breaker. He put up 38 DK points last week and he leads the NFL in passing attempts. Tennessee has allowed multiple touchdown passes in 5 straight games. So I like both quarterbacks a lot, but I do lean with Burrow in this spot.
I feel like there's a lot of chances for bringbacks here. Like you could do a Burrow. You know, if you do a stack with Burrow, what are you going with?
You think, so
yeah, honestly, you could do a double stack with Burrow and bring it back with Derrick Henry here. You could go Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, or T. Higgins. And if you wanted to go A.J. Green, I think he's actually not that bad maybe this week.
No, he's not. He's my favorite value play in this game. He's 4,500, but you can do bring backs. You could do double bring backs. You could stack this entire game. Corey Davis is 5,100 and wow, he has at least 11.9 PPR points in every game that he's played. So he's been pretty safe. I don't think the Bengals secondary is all that good. AJ Brown is 6,900 and Tyler Boyd is 66. So I like those two, if you want to spend up a little bit more, but there is value plays in Corey Davis, AJ Green, T. Higgins is $5,600 as well. So I like both passing attacks a lot, and Gio Bernard will be in play if Joe Mixon is out. Gio Bernard is still just 5,800.
So, I mean, this is a serious question. I don't know if this is insane or not, but I mean, could you do Joe Burrow, AJ Brown, AJ Green, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, like in your flex? Is that just too much exposure to this game? Probably
too much, but if we're being honest, if there's one game that's going to go ballistic this week, I think it's probably this one. I don't think either defense.
Neither team is afraid to like get involved in a shootout, and neither team can stop anybody. Like these are the teams I've been wanting to play against all year long. Because they'll let Burrow drop back 50 times.
Yep.
Tannehill will throw 40, but I mean, more than likely they'll try to run Derrick Henry. And you could do, I mean, I might do this. I mean, I might honestly just go 100% Joe Burrow, which I'm sure will end up biting me in the ass, but that's fine. And then have it where it's like Joe Burrow with, some like different combinations of AJ Green, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, and bring it back with, in different ways with AJ Brown, Corey Davis, and then Derrick Henry. Cause I think you can bring, like, I think any game script is possible here.
Yeah. And I've listened to a few other podcasts where they pointed out that Derrick Henry tends to, like, when the entire Titans team goes off, Derrick Henry obviously included, like Ryan Tannehill goes, it's like when Derrick Henry goes off, everybody goes off.
Yes. Like, those are the games. He opens everything up.
Right, yeah. So in those two smash games that we saw from Derrick Henry, it's like Ryan Tannehill also had huge games. AJ Brown also had huge games. And, you know, just looking at this slate, I just think that this game specifically has the chance to just go ballistic. Pay attention to the weather, and we'll talk about that for a few other games, because that's why we see some lower totals this week, and some totals that are actually dropping right now, because there's like 12-mile-per-hour winds expected in this game and some other games too. So pay attention to that, but it's actually quite mild compared to some of those other games.
So Sunday at 1 o'clock, looking more like 17-mile-an-hour winds.
Okay. So yeah, it's increased a little bit.
Oh my God. I cannot believe I'm going to talk myself out of like four different 50 miles. I mean, 50 degrees, 20% chance of rain. I can't believe I'm going to talk myself out of this game because of like 15-mile-an-hour wind. And I'm going to be so mad when it goes over like a billion points.
Yeah. But again, like the Raiders and Browns, expected like 20+ mile per hour winds. Same thing with the Packers game. As of now, Packers and Vikings expected over 20 mile per hour winds and like 35-degree weather. So
let's get to that. Anybody else on a sleeper situation from this game?
No, I think we pretty much hit on it. Jonnu Smith is okay at 4,100, but he actually split work pretty evenly with Anthony Firkser. So, I don't really love Jonnu either.
Okay. And if Jonnu's out there, you don't really love Firkser either.
So, no, they cannibalize each other for fantasy value.
I played Firkser last week. That didn't go very well. Las Vegas at Cleveland. As Frank points out, the weather in Cleveland looking a little, if the weather in Cleveland is bad, shouldn't the weather in Cincinnati be bad? 26-mile-per-hour wind?
Yeah.
What?
No, yeah, this week is crazy for weather.
60% chance of rain, 50 degrees. That is a hellscape.
Yeah, it's not good. But your point is valid.
It's just weird that it would be, how far away are they? It can't be that far.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Geography,
not my strong suit.
Oh, they're 4 hours away. Oh, and Cleveland is on the water too. I forget that. Like, Cincinnati is just in the middle of like a chili bowl. Like Cincinnati's actually closer to Indy, way closer to Indy than Cleveland. In fact, closer to Pittsburgh and So yeah, all right.
That helps.
The weather, it just seems like they should be next to each other because the Browns and the Bengals are the same organization, I guess. Is this a Kareem Hunt smash spot?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Kareem Hunt in this spot. He played 90% of the snaps last week. He is $6,900 on DraftKings, and Vegas's defense is just bad. They're 29th in pass defense DVOA. They're 29th in run defense DVOA. So, Kareem Hunt, I think, is probably going to be one of the chalkiest plays this week, and I have absolutely no problem playing him here. And I would like Derek Carr. He's only 5,500 and he's actually played really, really well this season. He's like a top 15 quarterback for fantasy purposes. He's only $5,500 and all the optimizers love him. But maybe the optimizers are not factoring in those 20-mile-per-hour winds and rain and everything else that's going to go on there. So I want to like Derek Carr, but I think we see a lot of running in both sides of this game. So Kareem Hunt is far and away my favorite play here.
Do you have any interest in Josh Jacobs?
I don't hate him at 6,200, but Cleveland has actually been okay against running backs this year. They're only allowing 3.7 yards per carry to the position, and Josh Jacobs has only gone over 4 yards per carry in one game this season, so he's actually been very inefficient. So he's okay, but I mean, I'll spend the $700 more on Kareem Hunt. It sucks because there are a few passing options in this game that I want to like. Henry Ruggs at 4,900 should be in play if the weather was okay. Rashard Higgins at 4,200 went over 100 yards last week and was tied for the team lead in targets. Darren Waller, 56, should be in play. And Harrison Bryant was a smash play last week.
He's a smash, yeah.
He's only 3,200, and if there's no Austin Hooper, Baker likes to throw to tight ends, but this weather is just kind of throwing everything for a loop.
I'm trying stat. I really don't like Stathead. Have you used Stathead versus Pro Football Reference? I know it's the same thing.
Yeah. So in order to look up specific things,
I can look up stuff on the, I can look up stuff like in 30 seconds on Pro Football Reference on the fly. I can't look up anything. I'm trying to find what Derek Carr's stats were in cold weather games, but I don't see how that, it doesn't show up when you look in Stathead. Like, how is that not, how do they not have game filter where it's like temperature? Time zone, game result. What are we doing here, guys? Like, I need game temperature.
I wish I could.
Ridiculous. Time zone. Cause I wanted to see what Derek Carr's results were in like 26-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, that would be useful. Has he traveled across the country at all yet this season?
No, but he usually stinks in those spots.
Yeah, I actually remember a few. Obviously, I'm a Jets fan. We brought it up before. It's very unfortunate. But a couple of years ago, the Raiders and Derek Carr came to MetLife to face the Jets for like a 1 o'clock start, and it was just the Jets won by 20-plus points or something, and they had no business winning, at least by that much. So, yeah, that is something that sticks in my mind when it comes to.
So we can look up temperature. It was 2 years ago. The Jets were terrible and they blew out the Raiders.
Yep.
Yeah. I picked the Jets that week and it wasn't even close. It was a slaughter. So let's choose doing this on the fly people.
Derek Carr did travel to New England earlier in the season.
Oh yeah, but I don't think it was very cold necessarily.
Yeah. 261-2. It's an okay game.
Yeah. And the Patriots might be terrible.
They might. I'm actually worried that the Jets might have a chance to beat the Pats in one of their two games.
You don't need to worry about that, Frank.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
you can relax about that. Right? Hey, let's look up the year. So generally speaking, this is a team that's not good under 45 degrees the last few years, I don't think. So Derek Carr's been there since 2012, right? They've only played in 5 games. Maybe they're fine. Or it's 50 degrees or less. I'd love to see high wind because I don't think that's Derek Carr's preferred setup. Anyway, I'm not going to do this for any longer. But I agree. I think you avoid Derek Carr. I don't think you can go with Baker Mayfield either. I think it's just Kareem Hunt or Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I will have some Darren Waller because okay, sure. They're not going to take shots down the field with Henry Ruggs if there's wind, but they could throw these short and intermediate routes and let Darren Waller work after the catch and use him in the red zone as well. So Darren Waller at 5,600, and on the other side, Harrison Bryant, 3,200. If there's no Austin Hooper, I like both tight ends.
Okay, that's fair. 49ers at Seahawks. Seahawks minus 3.5. The over under 53.5. The 49ers are kind of good, and yeah, the Seahawks haven't played anybody. That's something I came to realize this week. The Seahawks haven't played anybody.
Yeah, and this is obviously a divisional matchup, so it's huge. So it's a weird game because I do think the 49ers defense is pretty good, and they have had all these injuries, and they're actually getting a little bit healthier. It looks like cornerback Quan Williams is going to return this week for the 49ers. But with all the injuries to the Seahawks running backs, I think we could just see another like 35 plus pass attempts for Russell Wilson in this spot. So I think you have to have some exposure to him, especially in GPPs, but the price tag is obviously high at 7,800. And I think if you're going to pair him with someone, I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett again. It's not just because I'm chasing last week's points. It's because he's still $300 or $400 less than DK Metcalf. And I think he either has the same amount of upside or even more upside than Metcalf.
Yeah, for sure.
So if I'm going to use Russell Wilson in this spot, then I'm going to pair him with Tyler Lockett. And on the other side, Brandon Ayuk just went over 100 yards, 5,800.
Ooh, Ayuk might be a smash this week because Debo Samuel.
Right.
The Seahawks can't guard anybody outside. They'll play Ayuk outside. And if you're Seattle, you have to worry about George Kittle too.
Yeah. Man. And I want to like Kittle. This is one of those games where you could see the targets get out of control for him, like 10, 12, 15 targets for Kittle. But 7,000, I think the Seahawks are probably going to focus on trying to stop him. There's a chance Jamal Adams returns as well, and obviously that would affect...
Jamal Adams, oh my goodness. So, 7,000 is clearly
the
top tight end, right?
Yeah, so I don't think that I could get behind Kittle at that price, but Ayuk for sure. Garoppolo, you can't do it in cash because it's just too... Like, he could go out there and just lay an egg. And, so for GPPs... Okay.
Jamal Adams, I don't mind Garoppolo and Kittle as a GPP play.
Yeah. No, that makes sense because, people might not be paying attention to the news on Adams, and the target share could just be massive for George Kittle in spot. But Ayuk, I think for sure is a smash at 5,800. He's probably the player that I'm most likely to play in this game.
Well, and I think you probably either need to go cheap, a tight end, just looking at it. I think you either need to go cheap with like a Harrison Bryant or, if you want to come, if Mo Alie-Cox is out, come back to Trey Burton, who had a really good game the last time against Detroit. That's not a terrible matchup. Yep. Gerald Everett could do okay. There's all the Cleveland tight end thing is just so jammed together. As we mentioned, Tennessee is a problem. Hunter Henry, not a terrible matchup, but could be low scoring. Robert Tonyan, good matchup, but I don't know. It just feels like, Waller's in that wind. Andrews has Pittsburgh. Kelsey could smash, but they're 19 point favorites. Who do you want to take? That could just be a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know. I think it's either Kittle or go cheap, maybe.
No, yeah, I think that makes sense. And pay attention to the news over the weekend because all this tight end value has come out like late in the week. Friday last week, Austin Hooper with the appendectomy, and 2 weeks ago it was
Mo Alie-Cox
was out, and then Trey Burton. So the past couple of weeks, we've had these
Who was the other one that was a good tight end play that blew up? If Jonnu Smith is ruled out for some reason, like Firkser is a good play, or Firkser is hurt, gets hurt in practice, something like that.
Yeah. So that has been the winning strategy the past couple of weeks, and a large majority of the season is just paying attention to the news, and whatever tight end gets ruled out, like the next man up has just been really great for DFS this year.
Well, and last week too, it's like, Joe Mixon ruled out late. Aaron Jones ruled out late. And so even though it was super chalky to go Gio and Jamal Williams, it paid off. Now, Gio had to score receiving touchdown to get his value there. But you could have jammed those guys in the winning lineup and gone with a bunch of like Lockett and Cardinals guys, and you had a great week.
That's a lot of like the winning lineups last week. They all had Jamal Williams. They all had Gio Bernard. I mean, sometimes just because it's chalky, you have to take the free space, and it's hard to set lineups this early in the week. Like, we're recording this on Wednesday, but as the week unfolds and you figure out practice.
That's sort of why you have to wait though. Like, you need to get to Friday afternoon, I think, at least to see, okay, here's the injury report.
Yes.
And then make your decisions, because if if you're like, if you're thinking about going with George Kittle, you're like, I'm going to, George Kittle is a smash spot. And then Mo'Ali Cox is ruled out and you can get Trey Burton for nothing against a Lions team where, you know, the Colts are probably going to have to, anyway, we'll get to that game in a second. But I mean, that's sort of the point. It's like, you can't, don't get locked into something early in the week because you just don't know. Any other, who's running the ball for the 49ers here?
Your guess is as good as mine. Is
Tevin Coleman back?
Tevin Coleman is eligible to return, but we have to pay attention to the news there to see
if Michael Hasty?
DeMichael Hasty is 5K, which is not terrible if there's no Tevin Coleman, but the Seahawks have actually been really good against the run. Their defense has been terrible against the pass, but
yeah.
Yeah, Hasty at 5K could be in play, but he's another, we're getting like all these running backs this week. Hasty, the Ravens guys, Melvin Gordon, like we could have a lot of really good value, but it depends on the news, obviously.
Right. And Hasty's not, like, if Hasty's not, okay, Aaron Jones is out, locking Jamal Williams. Hasty's a,
no.
If Tevin Coleman is out, then maybe you can play him as a kind of a low price pivot. He's not even like a 4K guy, right?
Yeah. It's the same thing with DJ Dallas on the other side. Like the three running backs ahead of him are all hurt. He's not a good player, but at 4K, if he's going to get you 15 touches, then yeah, he's in play.
All right. That's going to be a nice fall, crisp fall game up in Seattle. I bet there will be a bunch of people up there trying to be comfortable and watch football. Maybe they can do so. Say prepare for winter in wearing some Express. And I'd like to highlight the Art of Essential for Men collection from Express, a fantastic group of clothes. Who doesn't love a good waffle knit crew neck sweater? That's something I can settle down to watch football in, but also podcast in afterwards. If I ever get to leave the house, ever again, it's something I'd wear in a social setting as well. Versatility at its finest. So check out what Express has to offer and text the word football to 397-737 to receive $25 off a $50 purchase. All right, Vikings at Packers, Frank. Packers -6.5, the over under 53.5. The Vikings have shipped off, I keep thinking they traded Everson Griffin, but they didn't. They traded Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah.
And they, which should only make life easier for Aaron Rodgers. It does sound like it might not be, Aaron Jones might not be back this week. If Aaron Jones is not back, will you return to the Jamal Williams well?
Oh, absolutely. Even at $6,100, his usage last week, was just, it was exactly what we wanted out of him. He had 23 touches, 19 rushing attempts. He scored a touchdown. He had 4 receptions as well. He played a buttload of the snaps there. So even at $6,100, if there's no Aaron Jones, the Vikings defense has been better against the run than they have against the pass, but.
Oh, that's. Still, okay.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't really mean much anyway. So, yes, I would definitely be interested in Jamal Williams. This is another one of those games with the weather here, Will, that we have to pay attention to because last I checked, 37 overcast, 20-mile-per-hour winds in Lambeau. So that does not sound great for the passing attack. But if it were to ease up and get better throughout the course of the week.
And again, we record this on Wednesday. Like, we don't. It's you can't lock that. These are decisions you need to make on Saturday or maybe Sunday morning.
Yes.
When, you know, you're seeing it on like on the pregame shows and it's like out here in Green Bay, the frozen tundra, you know, the wind is whipping. This is going to be a tough environment. That's where you're like, maybe I'm out on Davante Adams.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And like, if it's okay and you can get involved, I think that you should because. This is a big point total. It's over 50. I don't think the Vikings defense is good. They lost Daniel Hunter for the season as well. And in week one, Aaron Rodgers went off for 364 yards and four touchdowns. Davante Adams went off in week one. He just went off last week as well. Guess what? If you didn't have Davante Adams or Tyler Lockett, you probably did not cash last week. So that is, you know, the upside that we're dealing with. He's $8,800 though, Will.
It's insane.
$8,800 for Davante Adams. So,
I mean, that's tough. More than Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. If you have any doubt over the weather, like you really have to be sure that it's going to be a smash spot if you're going to play him at $8,800.
At $8,800, what kind of ownership is he going to have coming off that box score last week? Because the next highest priced wide receiver is DK Metcalf at $7,500. And then you have Adam Thielen in this game as well at $7,200. I mean, $8,800 is a lot.
It is a lot. I'll say like 8 to 10%.
Wow. Really? So not even up to like 20%. I just feel like was he was highly owned last week, right?
Oh yeah. He was massively owned.
Right, but he paid it off in spades. Like, it didn't, if he was 50% owned, he still paid it off.
Yeah. He was like the high priced, because of the running back value. He was like, if there's anyone you were going to spend up for last week, it was Devontae Adams.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know that you can, I don't want to say you can't play him at the win, if there's a lot of win, because that just seems stupid when he goes bananas. But it is tough to stomach $8,800 in a game where the Vikings have lost two of their starting defensive linemen. Not that either one has really been healthy or has been good against the run, and Ngakoue and Danielle Hunter respectively. But, you know, this could just be a game where they just feed Jamal Williams and be like, all right, Kirk Cousins, throw in the wind against us and come back. Have fun with that.
Yeah, that's, I think roster rate this week is going to just be wacky, because I think the weather is just really going to throw things off a little bit here. So people are, you know, there's going to be a slight indecision, and some people are going to try to take advantage of it and be like, oh, well, it's contrarian play. It's GPP. I can, right. You know, I can get some leverage on it that way. But some people are going to be scared off. So it's going to be interesting, to see how that goes. Devontae Adams, I'm looking at it right now in the giant double up last week. He was 45% rostered.
Wow. That's substantial. So when you look at, when you look at these games, the one thing they don't do on your phone, at least with DraftKings, is show weather. Right?
I believe they show it on the desktop. Yeah. So
like when you're doing the lineup builder, you don't see, no, that they do. Like there's no like, you know, it's like opponent ranked 29th. I mean, I don't know how you fit in Devontae Adams. Oh man, that is a crazy price for a wide receiver.
Yeah, and especially if you want to, you don't have to stack it with Rodgers, obviously, but if you want to get Devontae in there, we're gonna have to get some running back values this week. We're gonna have to, you know, if there's no mix in where you get Geo, if there's no Aaron Jones, and even at 6,100, it's not a great value.
Yeah, I just wonder if people might venture down to Adam Thielen instead. Like, this could be a blowout. They'll have to throw. I mean, Thielen just doesn't have, I mean, I guess he does. I mean, he has upside, but it's not, he doesn't have, I mean, Devontae Adams has played four games and two of them have been 44 points or more. He's a monster.
It's ridiculous.
He has 26 catches in two games.
I saw that he's on pace for like 160 targets. Meanwhile, he's played like 2.5 games.
He missed 3 weeks. I mean, it's insane. Yeah,
3.5 games, whatever it was.
Yeah. He's 3.5 games. I mean, if it's that concentrated, if Rodgers is going to him that much, then it's going to be really hard to get away from it.
Yeah. And we have brought up some wide receiver values already. So it's not impossible. You pay down a tight end. You find the cheap defense. Last week it was, you know, Washington. Everyone was on Washington and made a ton of sense going against Dallas. So I'm kind of sad we don't have Dallas on the main slate so that we could just, you know, start a defense against.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
Rodgers 7,600 here. I can't have any interest in that.
Yeah, like he has big upside too, but
he's already exceeded his. I mean, but like against Tampa Bay, they shut it down. They won't do that against Minnesota, obviously. But
he dominates bad defenses.
He does dominate bad
defenses. And the Vikings are bad defense.
But they blew out the Lions, and he didn't even crack 20. They handled he had 24.5. I don't know that he has slate breaking upside though.
Probably, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I think he needs to score a rushing touchdown. Like, Tannehill's been a better DFS quarterback over the full course of the year, right?
Yeah, based on,
so is Burrow.
Value versus, yeah. Because Rodgers' salary has been consistently higher than Tannehill's. So,
let me ask you this. If you play Devontae Adams, do you need, because if you play Devontae Adams, you need 35 points to pay off his salary? 28 points?
Yeah, like 25 to 30 would be great, and like anything more than 30 would be just...
Okay, so 25 to 30 to pay off his salary. But if he goes for 25 or 30, don't you have to have Rodgers with him too?
Well, say Rodgers throws 275 and 2, and...
That's a good point. And
Devontae Adams gets like 10 for 150 and those two touchdowns.
I don't think you need Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so maybe, and he's 7,600, so I don't know if you can stack him. I have no interest in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, me neither. The thing with Thielen, he's 7,200, but I think that his, upside is starting to be capped by the emergence of Justin Jefferson. And I'm wondering if coming off the bye, do we see even more Justin Jefferson? I do like for the Vikings that their target share is so concentrated just between those two guys, basically. But, you know, if you're going to take a shot on one of them, given the game that we last saw from Jefferson, why wouldn't you just spend down 700 to get him instead of Thielen?
I would also assume that Jair Alexander is going to be on Adam Thielen and not Justin Jefferson.
Thielen did have two touchdowns against them in week one, but that's probably
total garbage time.
Yeah, that's something they're probably, the Packers are going to try to rectify, I would imagine. I still don't think the Packers defense is very good.
No, it's not.
But for some, like, they're shutting down wide receivers. They've been pretty good against them this season.
I just don't know. I don't know that I want anything to do with those guys if we're in a situation where there's a ton of win and these guys need like a crazy comeback. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's asking a lot out of Cousins and those guys. All right. I don't know why we're lingering on this game so long. I guess there are a couple monster guys. Colts -2.5 at the Lions. The over under is 50 in this game.
Which seems surprising, no?
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, I'm going to take the under here.
It's like a smash under play here. I guess the fact that it's in a dome and all these, we're talking about all these other games True. That have concerns over, weather. We don't have to worry about that with Detroit. I think both defenses are in play. I really don't.
Wow, but the Lions defense?
Yeah, I don't think they're good, but Phillip Rivers is probably good for at least one turnover in this game.
So the Indy defense ranks fourth in DVOA, fourth against the pass, and fifth against the rush. And this is, accounting for schedule, and they haven't played anybody so far. The Detroit defense is actually 18th, and they are 23rd against the run. Is this a spot for Jonathan Taylor finally?
It should.
He said for the 15th week in a row.
He's $6,600. So it really comes down to his price point. And it's, all right, at that price, you could spend $300 more and get Kareem Hunt, who I think is in a better spot. Or if Aaron Jones is out, you could spend $500 less and you get Jamal Williams. So I like him.
He shouldn't be, he won't be owned.
He won't. And there have been some whispers that, all right, coming out of the bye, they're going to hand it over to Jonathan Taylor and we're going to see like 20 plus touches in a good spot here against Detroit. So I think it's a GPP play for sure. He is in play, but in terms of cash, I think that we have better running back values.
He's had one game this year with over 20 carries. That was against Minnesota in week two. They had a huge lead. And he finished with 22 fantasy points because he averaged 3.9 yards per carry and did score one touchdown. He's not heavily involved in the passing game. He went up against the Jets in week three and had 13 carries and they won 36-7. Now their defense scored twice. I understand that. I mean, they've blown out. Oh man. I just don't know. They were losing to Cincinnati. They were losing to Cleveland, I guess. They manhandled the Bears and the Bears have a good rush defense. He is going to be 5% owned max.
Yeah. And it's a good matchup too, but it just, depends. Like if you just, based on the other names that we have, that's why I can't get behind it in cash, but as a leverage play in GPP or tournaments, then, I could see it. Trey Burton is super cheap and we spoke about him a little bit already as well, but.
It'd need Mo Alley Cox out to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it helped. I mean, there were games where Mo Alley Cox was in there, and Trey Burton has still seen 5+ targets in each of the past three games. So I think they really like him, and he's just a guy. But it would help if Mo Alley Cox is out.
Is DeAndre Swift just a startable second running back?
He is. I believe he's like 5,200 or 5,300.
Yeah.
And he did play a season high 45% of the snaps in week 7. So I like the way that it's trending, but AP is like still just doing enough to be annoying. And I think the Colts defense is actually legitimately good. So I'm probably going to pass on DeAndre Swift.
And it looks like based on at least the game logs, he's only going to run if they're up big in the second half. Like that's like Jacksonville is where he got 14 carries. Now he'll probably get 4 or 5 catches and one of them will probably be a touchdown. But for him to really blow up, I think they need to have a lead against a bad team. And I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe this is not the spot for that. Any interest in Stafford, Galladay? We're not even going to mention Phillip Rivers or any of the wideouts.
Not really. The Lions past defense has actually played a lot better. And who are you going to trust in Indy? Zach Pascal has been okay, but Marcus Johnson had a big game last time out. T.Y. Hilton is still there lingering. And of course, Phillip Rivers likes to throw the tight ends and the running back. So can't really endorse any of the wide receivers here. Kenny Golladay, love the player. Just don't really like the matchup versus
6,600 is a lot too.
Yeah.
He's got it. I don't know. This is the game where he pays it off with two long scores. You know what I mean?
And I think his price was similar last week. It was 6,700 last week in a great spot at Atlanta.
Yeah.
So now it's 66 in a tough spot against Indy. No thanks.
The Lions don't play fast, and neither do the Colts.
No, this is
a smash under.
Yeah,
it's like betting wise. I think this.
I don't know why it's 50. It's.
I don't either. Odd. The Lions are gonna run Adrian Peterson, and the Colts are gonna run Jonathan Taylor. Does Kenny Golladay have a? What is his highest? You sort by fantasy points. What is his highest, the biggest game of his career? I'm just seeing, has he ever put up I don't know if he's ever put up like a true ceiling game for a guy of his skill set. I mean, last year he had 123 on 6 catches with 2 touchdowns and 158 with 1 touchdown.
Yeah. The thing is, he's never as great as he is. And I think he's super talented.
Yeah.
He's never like a target hog. You know, right. He's not like the Calvin Johnson or Megatron of this offense. Ever since Megatron retired, Stafford really just spreads the ball around, and he takes what defense gives him. So as good as Golladay,
he didn't have a career game. He didn't have a 10 catch. He didn't have a 9 catch game in his career.
Yeah, no, he's not one of those like huge volume guys. He makes great plays down the field.
He only has 10 games with over 100 yards in his career. And for a guy who's as good as he is, that's really surprising.
Yeah. Right. All 6 of his receptions were contested catches last week.
Yeah, it was crazy. Jets at Chiefs. Chiefs minus 19.5, over under 48.5. I guess the 48.5 points come from the Chiefs here. I'm not sure how many come from the Jets. Do you think your Jets will cover wait, are you Jets or Giants? How do I keep forgetting that?
I'm a Jet fan.
You told me earlier. Yeah, I was like 100% sure you were a Jets fan. I'm scared. I guess I just felt bad either way. But I don't know that I feel comfortable playing even like Chiefs in this spot. As bad as the Jets are, I don't feel like this is I will say I'm going to play Le'Veon Bell some.
Narrative Street, right? He's,
oh yeah, absolutely.
$4,600. You have to imagine that Andy Reid's going to try and get him in the end zone at least once.
I mean, what's the second half going to be? Them feeding, like wasting carries on Clyde Edwards-Helaire or giving Le'Veon Bell all the revenge he wants?
That's why it's hard to get behind paying up for really anybody on the offense outside of Le'Veon Bell just because he's so cheap. But Patrick Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I don't hate. CEH is probably the second player who I'm most likely to play in this game. Tyreek Hill is 67, Kelsey 66, and they all might not be playing in the fourth quarter of this game. So,
I mean, maybe the third quarter.
Yeah. I don't think the Jets are going to cover. I think they probably lose between like 21 and 28 points.
I think the Chiefs are up 14 in the fourth quarter, and Le'Veon Bell rips off a long touchdown run.
Yeah, he might have one even before then. Yeah, sure. He was pretty involved. He was more involved last week than I expected him to be in his first game.
I don't think it's that they don't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire that they want to anything like that. I think they just want, they're like, listen, we can play Le'Veon Bell and we can get, you can keep, they're a running team now. Pass the ball a bunch, but they're a running team because that's how defenses want to play them. So they want this extra running back who they can feed and like keep the wear and tear easy on these guys.
Yeah, like let's remember, Clyde is a rookie, and obviously the Chiefs have aspirations of making a deep run into the postseason. They don't want to wear this guy. They don't want to give him 20 to 25 touches every single week.
Absolutely. You run him into the ground and he won't be ready to go by the end of the season.
If you keep him around 15, 16, 18 touches, you give Le'Veon Bell the other whatever, 8, 10, 12, that's perfectly fine.
6 carries, 39 yards, no targets in week 7 against Denver. I mean, if he could get 15 to 20 carries in this game easily, Frank.
Yeah. No, I think Bell is probably the guy I'm most likely to play in this spot, $4,600. And we're talking about trying to pay up for Devontae Adams. This might be one way to do it, is to get one of these cheap running backs in here. Chiefs defense obviously in play going up against Sam Darnold, who... Man, I think it's more the offensive line than Sam Darnold, but
I don't blame Sam Darnold for this. I blame Adam Gase in the offensive line.
Save that for another day. Denzel Mims on the other side. That's your cheap play. $3,200.
Oh boy.
He saw 7 targets last week.
Oh, he got 7 targets last week. Wow. Okay.
The Chiefs secondary is really good, but where they have struggled at times is with outside wide receivers.
If Crowder plays, will you play him?
I don't want to play Denzel Mims, but if you just do need a salary saver, he is one of them. I think like it's a decent leverage spot too. Like even if Crowder plays, like no one's going to play Denzel Mims, obviously.
Wind, slight factor, 13 to 15 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too concerning, right? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
I'm playing a lot of Le'Veon Bell.
We're not playing much of the passing options in this game anyway. So,
Steelers Ravens, a great game on CBS. Maybe not a high end game for fantasy purposes. Or maybe so.
I can't really get behind it. And this is one of those situations where you have to pay attention to the practice reports and see, like, if Mark Ingram is out, sure, like J.K. Dobbins at sub 5K is definitely, he's $4,600. Like he would be in play. I want to like one of the Steelers wide receivers, but the Ravens secondary is legit. And, you know, if I'm going to choose one, it's probably Deontay Johnson. The guy just had 15 targets last week. I don't really love this game.
Dealing with an ankle injury too.
Yeah. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, like this is the cheapest he has been all season long, but for a good reason. I will have a little bit of Lamar Jackson just in case, but last time he played against Pitt last season, he threw 3 interceptions and it was probably his worst game of the season.
19 for 28, 161 yards. 1 touchdown, 3 picks, sacked 5 times, 14 carries for 70 yards in their first meeting. Did he not?
I don't know. Was the last one week 17?
Oh, yeah. He sat out week 17 when they played Pitt.
Yeah. So
that's crazy to think about.
I'm sure if Heath were here, he would be pumping up the contrarian play, and I can get behind that. A few lineups with contrarian play, Lamar Jackson, and Hollywood Brown would be the one that I want to pair him with, $6,100. The Steelers have struggled at times to wide receivers this season, so he is the guy. I think it's a tough spot for Mark Andrews, so can't really endorse that. It's really just, all right, a little bit Lamar, a little bit Hollywood, and if Mark Ingram is out, you can look at J.K. Dobbins.
Who would you bring it back with if you stacked Lamar and Hollywood? Juju?
Yeah, I mean, if Deontay's healthy.
Ooh, 14 targets last game.
Juju is 5,400. All right.
So cheap.
Not terrible either. So yeah, I mean, the fact that Deontay is beat up, it's one of those two. It's how can you get away from the targets? And, no one's probably going to own Claypool. So if
you want to, I just don't know that this is the game that you want to attack.
No,
but maybe that makes it a contrarian play.
No, and that's exactly why, like, I will have a few lineups with, you know, the Ravens here, but it's just really hard to get behind any of the Steelers. It's the Ravens coming off a bye. They've had a few weeks now to prep for this game. Divisional matchup.
AFC. Everybody's talking about the Steelers as the team that's going to win the division now. Yeah. It does. I feel like the Ravens might roll here, but I don't know if it's like because Lamar just has this monster passing game.
I wouldn't think so. I would think it's because their defense shows up more than anything.
Yeah. And they lock down Pittsburgh and they score 17 points on like a pick six and Lamar has one long passing touchdown, but then that's still not enough to put you over the top of the slate at that price.
Yeah, it's like something like a 21-14, like 17-13 kind of game, something like that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll rip through the lesser games.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are the Rams -4 at the Dolphins? Tua Tagovailoa starting. More interested in Tua or more interested in the Rams defense?
More interested in the Rams defense, but I'm just interested to watch him play in general.
Absolutely.
Because I just don't really know what to expect, and it all kind of caught us off guard, including poor Ryan Fitzpatrick, who said he was heartbroken.
I had no idea.
But I am interested to see how Tua performs in this spot, but it was interesting that they chose this game for him to start, considering he's going up against one of the best pass rushes in the league, and it doesn't
make any sense for him.
Coming off of a
hit. What are they doing? He had the Jets and the Jaguars. Why are you starting him now?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand the logic either, but I can't play Tua in this spot. I'm kind of interested in the Rams defense. Miles Gaskin is still way too cheap. He is $5,200 and a large majority of his value has been targets. Yep. And we don't really know if Tua is going to throw him the ball, but still, even at $5,200, I can get behind Miles Gaskin at that price.
I think I was reading Lance, I think it was Lance Zierlein's draft. Oh no, maybe it was Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, but the draft profile for Tua. And it's like, if he doesn't see it on his first read, he sort of panics. And you wonder, will the Dolphins make it try to create as many, and I think Chan Gailey can do this, create as many easy first read opportunities for Tua as possible. And that makes sense anyway with a rookie quarterback, right? So if you're doing that, it's not going to be, you know, like a multiple wide receiver flood concept. You know, you're going to have slants. You're going to have quick, like, hey, look to the first read. If it's not there, then go to Miles Gaskin out here on the swing pass. So it's very possible that he could end up with a lot of looks. I think Gesicki is kind of a sneaky play because, you know, you could see a rookie, quarterback lean on, you know, his, you know, you could see a rookie quarterback lean on his tight end. The guy I love in this game is Daryl Henderson.
And he is
5,900. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically the guy. He's still not seeing a huge workload in terms of snaps. He's like been between 50 and 60% of the snaps. The problem for me, Will, is that Malcolm Brown does just enough to be annoying. And
he does do just enough to be annoying.
Sometimes they use him in the red zone and sometimes like they just have drives where if he's rolling, they'll just continue to go with him and he just won't leave the field in the red zone and he gets a few targets here and there. He just does enough to be annoying. So within this game, if I'm choosing a running back, I would take the savings on Miles Gaskin for 700 less.
Okay. I like the Rams defense, but not a whole lot else. Chargers -3 at the Broncos, over under 44. Not a lovely game.
No, not very excited about this one at all. Could be a game where the Chargers actually roll here. Justin Herbert, fantastic last week, but the Broncos defense surprising, like the 49ers, the Broncos defense has been beat up, but they've still been like pretty good all season long, and they got AJ Boye back last week. I don't know that that's going to matter. I think Herbert could be fine, but at $6,900, I just can't get behind him at that price. Keenan Allen was a great play last week at $6,200, and he's $6,200 again. So while the Broncos
all they do is feed, all Herbert does is feed Keenan. Yeah.
No, like the targets, he sees a like 25 to 30% of the target share, and then Herbert basically spreads it around like a few deep shots to Jalen Guyton. He'll throw a few touchdowns to random backup tight ends that just make you want to pull your hair out if you have Hunter Henry on your teams. But yeah, can't get behind Herbert. I think Keenan Allen's a decent play, and if Philip Lindsay is out because of this concussion that he's dealing with, I think Melvin Gordon at $5,600, just because he's probably going to see close to 20 touches, would be in play here.
Okay. Is this the first or second time it's the first time they played, right? Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yeah. Saints -4. Yeah. I don't really love anything in that. I don't like Chargers Broncos. I think it's a low scoring game.
Yeah.
That means Chargers pound the ball and Herbert will take some shots and Denver won't do much. Saints -4 at the Bears, over under 44. I love this over under. It's going down. It was at 45, which is it's going to be moving past a key number. I don't think the Bears do anything on offense because they're not good on offense. And I mean, I would be interested in Alvin Kamara, I guess, but the guy I might be more interested in would be Latavius Murray.
Just getting that garbage time.
Yeah. Blowout. And they don't want to run Alvin. Like, I think if you're paying for Alvin Kamara, you run the risk of like, you're asking Chicago to do something. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've, Nick Foles has just been terrible, and they have nowhere else to turn because him and Trubisky are both quite bad. I like the Saints defense as a result. So if you want to go with the Saints and Alvin Kamara or Saints and Latavius Murray, which is something that could pay off. Cause look, if you get one or even two, it's not inconceivable, two defensive touchdowns from the Saints, you're probably not going to see a lot of Alvin Kamara in the second half, which will lead to a lot of Latavius Murray in the second half. So, Lat Murray is $4,300. The problem here, Heath, I just called you Heath. You are not Heath. You are Will.
Good problem is,
he is only $300 less than Le'Veon Bell. Mm. Latavius Murray.
I would rather have Le'Veon Bell because it's basically the same role.
Yes, but for, I'm not going to say a much better offense, but a better offense with Kansas City, obviously.
Oh, no, no, Kansas City is a much better offense against a much worse defense.
Yeah.
But in like the same sort of role, you know, like if it's the second half and the game's out of control, that's the guy who's going to get fed. So I just think that the Latavius Murray could be a contrarian type of play, but you go Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, and you're hoping for two, like those are your two cheap running backs. You're hoping for two second half blowouts and just to cut these guys loose.
Yeah. No one will have
that combination.
Some people will have Le'Veon Bell, but there will be no Latavius Murray. I can guarantee you that. And that's how you get Devontae Adams in your lineup.
That is how you get Devontae Adams in your lineup. All right. Patriots at Bills. Bills -3.5 over under 43. I have a hard time having any interest in anything here, although I suppose I could, maybe Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs.
Even that is hard. I'm not ready to count the Patriots out because every single time we do that, Belichick finds a way, but that was with Brady. Cam Newton looks like a shell of himself right now. And I don't know if it's COVID related, but I know that's been a storyline all season long. He has not looked himself since he's returned from COVID. Like there's no way, like you cannot press up against that. Like that is an actual fact. He has
not. I mean, I don't think it's weird to ask, is this COVID related?
Yeah.
Did the week off, like when you had COVID, like funk you up for a couple weeks? And is there going to be like a recovery time where he comes back? Now it's also possible. I think maybe Bill Simmons said this on his podcast. He's sort of like clawing for reasons to why the Patriots got blown out by the 49ers, but maybe they didn't want to show they're saving up for the division game this week. Like coming to the San Fran game, you get behind early. You're like, we're packing it in. We're not coming back against this team.
You think that's a real thing though? You think that's real? Like teams just pack it in because they just don't want
to. I think it's possible that the Patriots are like, this game is over. And I think Bill Belichick probably has to know he can't come back from a regular season game against a good defense when he's down 18 to 20 points. Like he can, it's possible, but I think it's pretty unlikely. Like if he's playing Seattle, maybe, or Oakland, or Las Vegas every week, or Las Vegas, maybe, but like San Fran, I just don't think it was happening. Also, this game profiles to have 20 plus mile an hour winds as well in Buffalo.
Yeah. No, this is a contrarian game all around. Like people are going to look at this game. They're going to look the other way. So, Josh Allen, we saw what his upside
Cam might actually be a play.
I was just thinking that too.
Like if it's 20 miles an hour wind, Buffalo's defense is terrible. I don't know who you stack him with. Maybe it's not a stackable option.
It wouldn't be. Look, where Cam gets his value is with his legs, right? And in competitive games where he has been trailing, the Seattle game comes to mind where he runs for all these yards and he scores two rushing touchdowns, had two rushing touchdowns in week one against Miami. Like that's how he gets his value. You don't have to stack him with anybody. So, man, 5,700. Yeah. If you just want to light some money on fire and take a shot here, contrarian play, nobody will have Cam Newton this week.
Nobody will have Cam Newton. I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, like the Bills are a bad defense. You can run on them. And if it's 20 mile an hour wind, the Patriots are not going to ask Cam. Like that might be why they're like, get him out in the second half. Like pull him out of there. We don't need him taking shots. We don't need him running. We're going to let him run 40 times next game because they need this game. This is almost a must win game for the Patriots if they want to stay in this season.
And there, I'm looking for their implied team total.
It has to be like
20 points. So if they score two touchdowns, you have to think Cam Newton's involved with both of them, whether it's throwing or him rushing.
Almost certainly, unless it's a defensive score.
And if he scores two rushing touchdowns, he pays off there already.
Right, absolutely. And that's before the passing. Like if he finishes the game with 60 carries and two rushing touchdowns, he's paid his price, right?
Yeah, like don't get crazy with it, but a little Cam Newton sprinkle this week. You talk me into it, Will.
All right, let's do it. I like it. I can't wait till we celebrate this Cam Newton millionaire maker next week. All right, we're doing main slate. These are going to wrap it up. Main slate, chalk play, your chalk play of the week, Frank.
For me, it's Kareem Hunt at 6,900. Some weather concerns there. Coming off a game where he played 90% of the snaps, I think 20 touches is a safe floor against a bad defense in Las Vegas. He will probably be my most rostered running back this week, Kareem Hunt.
That is a very good choice. I want to go with Derrick Henry, but I will go with instead Jamal Williams. I don't think you can go wrong with it. He's 6,100. He will be owned by a lot of people or rostered by a lot of people, and he will pay it off if Aaron Jones doesn't play.
Yeah. Same thing with Gio too. Like he would be in that same mix, 5,800.
If Mixon doesn't play, right. Just run it right back from last week. Well, all right. Favorite value play, cheap, bottom of the barrel, under 4K play. What do you think?
I like Harrison Bryant. I'm going with the Browns here at $3,200. Of course, this is contingent on Austin Hooper being out, but I don't think he'll be back. You know, had an appendectomy late last week and he didn't practice on Wednesday when we were recording this, and it's Baker likes to throw tight ends and Harrison Bryant just had two touchdowns. So 3,200.
Did we say under four? Is it under 4K or under five? It's under 4K.
Yeah. Under 4K.
Okay. Cause that's dirt cheap. I will say
Trey Burton is under 4K too.
Yeah, Trey Burton was the one I was kind of looking at. I also think that I will go with, I'll say Rex Burkhead. I think it's a Rex Burkhead. You look at that weather, you look at Cam rushing it. It feels like a Rex Burkhead game. Like when they've played well offensively, it's been Rex Burkhead getting involved for the Patriots. So I'll throw, he's not afraid to have a two touchdown game. So Trey Burton would definitely be one of them. Probably you got to sort, they sort all these guys. You got to get, it's hard to find. The guys below. Oh, Denzel Mims, we mentioned, is a guy who should be involved in there.
Yeah.
What about Josh Reynolds?
He's coming off a one touchdown or two touchdown game?
One touchdown game, but they lined him up in the backfield. He ran out of there and he caught that pass. It was a very impressive setup for the.
Some optimizers I've looked at like Josh Reynolds this week too. He's only 3,100.
How many different optimizers do you look at?
I've got a few.
Okay. What are your preferred optimizers?
I use some of the sports line stuff.
Okay.
And I use Daily Roto.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. I've never used Daily Roto. I've got Fantasy Labs and, Roto Grinders.
All right. So let's meet up. Let's switch.
Yeah, we should collaborate and see what these have. Yeah. That's a good call. All right. Any beer that you've sampled this week?
Oh man. Speaking of sampled, I went to this spot called The Sampler in Brooklyn They literally just have a fridge filled with craft beers and you like create your own four pack. They give you the little thing on top.
That's lovely.
On top, and you just choose a bunch of random stuff. So I tried a sour. Surprise, surprise.
Oh,
it was
fine.
Flying Blind Sour Ale, blackberries and strawberries from Torch and Crown Brewery, and it was great.
Awesome.
How about you? Anything good?
I had a I've still got this wiki weed here, but I did a stout last night. It was a cookies and cream stout with like cinnamon and like a bunch of different those. It's a dessert stout. So there's a bunch of different flavors brewed in there. And I had that while watching my Rays bet evaporate in the thin air.
Yeah, that's perfect for the fall too. The Halloween.
Exactly. It was nice and like chill. And yeah, so I got another one of those. I've got like a, there's another, I have two more in there. I can't remember what they're called. Like one, like all different dessert types. They're like one's espresso or whatever it is. They're like blended wicked weed. So I tried that and that was pretty fantastic.
Nice, very nice. But yeah, if anyone's in the Queens, Brooklyn area, The Sampler, awesome spot.
All right, check out The Sampler. All right, Frank, thanks as always, buddy. This is fun. We ripped through all the games, and this is a tough slate. I don't think this is profiles as a free chalk slate. I think this is going to be you got to work for your $1 million this week.
Yep. I would agree with that. We'll see what happens later on in the week if some value opens up, if some running backs get ruled out. But as of now, it's looking a lot tougher than it was last week, for sure.
All right, buddy. Thanks as always.
On May 23rd...
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what?
a baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount+.